You're watching Redeemers Network Television.
Lord of Hosts, Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. He said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. There are three levels of Christians. We have baby Christians, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. They drink milk because they are baby Christians. They can't take hard stuff because they are babies. And then we have adult Christians, matured Christians. These are people who can not just drink milk, but they can eat strong meat. According to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14, Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. But then there's a level even higher than ordinary adult Christians. I say there's a level of those who not only eat strong meat, but they crack bones so they can get into the marrows. Jesus referred to such people in Mark chapter 4, verse 11. Mark 4, verse 11. He said, "Unto such people are given to know the mysteries of God, to know deep things, hidden truths." And the way they approach these three levels of Christians, the way they approach the Word of God, will automatically differ from one to the other. For example, when a baby Christian hears that God loves you, he rejoices. Because it is written, "We are more than conquerors through him that loves us." Baby Christians love that. They rejoice. God loves you. Hey, amen. I'm more than conquerors. When you say to an adult Christian, "God loves you," he says, Why? Because he knows that whomsoever the Father loves, he chastens. He knows if God loves me, I better be careful. Because if I mess up, the cane will fall. When you talk to the third level of Christian, the bone crackers, and you say God loves you, you will say amen. May God have mercy. Why? Because he knows that whomsoever the Father loves especially, he sacrifices. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son to go and die on the cross. When he wants to prove that he has power over fire, he sends his beloved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace to prove that he is the Lord of hosts. He can conquer fire. When he wants to prove that he's the lion of the tribe of Judah, that one lion passes another. Who did he send to the den of lions? Daniel, God's favorite. So how do you respond tonight when I say God loves you? Because so now I want to talk to you about the Lord of hosts. And I don't want to talk to babies. I don't want to talk to you as even mature Christians. I want to talk to you as bone crackers. Is that all right by you? I know the yes, I will be very low now. It's even too late for you to do anything about it. You are here, you are here. The Lord of hosts never loses a war. Until about 2 months ago, I've always said he never loses a battle. But about 2 months ago, he corrected me. I said, son, I can lose a battle to win a war. I never lose a war. When it pleases him to lose a battle in order to win a war, he will lose a battle. But he has never lost a war. So when it looks as if he's losing a battle, it is because he has a surprise that he wants to spring. In Daniel chapter 3, you know the story. You can read the whole story from verse 1 to 30. Daniel chapter 3, the whole chapter. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. And they began to bind the boys. They made the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. God kept quiet. He didn't do anything. They carried the three boys. And they were going to throw them into the fiery furnace. I'm sure if it were one of us, by the time they were taking us to the furnace, we say, ah, I thought God would have done something by now. Hey, okay, soldier, please put me down. If it is bow, I think I better bow. But he waited till they threw them into the furnace. Number one, he first of all roasted those who threw them in, just to give a hint as to what is coming. And then number two, the boys landed in the furnace, and the only thing that got burnt was the ropes that bound them. Number three, the king stood up trembling. Oh, tell your neighbor, I told you God is going to fight for you tonight. The king stood trembling. I said, we threw three men in, there are four there now. And this fourth one that I'm looking at is not an ordinary man. Do I hear somebody shout, Jesus? And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were walking out of the fire, and there's no smell of fire or smoke on them, the Bible says, the king said, there's no God like this one who can deliver like this. I'm saying to somebody here tonight, you will laugh last. Can give you other examples. They threw Daniel into the den of lions. He didn't do anything. They allowed him to land there. They sealed the top of the den. Everybody thought, this boy is finished. But by the following morning, not only was Daniel brought out alive, all those who threw him into the den became food for the lions. And the Bible said, after the enemies were finished, Daniel prospered. By the time God finishes with you tonight, I know you will begin your journey to prosperity. Now, sir, we explain to you later on when it is time to pray, because tonight I believe some of us will pray. There are battles he will fight for you. Like in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31 to 21, verse 13 to 21. Exodus 14, verse 13 to 21. Moses told the children of Israel, hey, just be still. See the work of the Lord. He said, the Lord will fight for you. When you are being pursued by generational enemies, it is God who will fight for you. And then there are battles he will fight with you. Like in Joshua chapter 10, verse 9 to 14. Joshua 10, 9 to 14. While Joshua was doing his own fighting. God was raining down heavy stones on the enemies of Joshua. They fought the battle together. And then there are battles he will fight through you. In Mark 11 verse 23, Mark 11 verse 23, he said, if you believe, you doubt not, you are the one who will say to this mountain, mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and the mountain will obey you. In Isaiah 54 verse 17, Isaiah 54 verse 17, he says, he will see to it that no weapon formed against you will prosper. That's a battle he will fight for you. But then he went on to say that every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will rebuke. That's the battle you will fight yourself. Tonight, before this night is out, God will fight for you. God will fight with you. And God will fight through you. And then this brings us to a very serious issue. You know, we love to quote Psalm 68 verse 1 to 3. Psalm 68 verse 1 to 3. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Now, a baby Christian would simply say, amen. Even some adult Christians, they even turn that to a song. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Adults, they sing it. But anyone who is matured, really, really matured, you know, bull crackers, will say, you say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Are you sure you are not the enemy? Because tonight we are going to cry unto him. We are going to ask God to arise. And believe me honestly, he's going to do so. He told me before I came. See, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to 7, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to 7, God sent a prophet to a king, King David. And God said, go and tell David, I'm about to fight him. Now, in those days, kings kill prophets easily. And so this particular prophet happens to be a clever fellow. Some people have asked me, why do you keep on saying you are not a prophet? I said, because in the Bible, prophets always die young. They kill them. Pastors, we are more secure. I'm a pastor. Prophets, they don't last much. So this man came to David, and instead of saying, I brought judgment from the Almighty God, he told him a story. Now, two people in the same city. One is a wealthy man, he has flocks of sheep. And there's a poor man who has just one little lamb. And then the rich man had some visitors. And instead of entertaining the visitors with one of his many sheep, he went and got the lamb, the only lamb that this poor man had. David said, "In my kingdom." The prophet said, "Yes." David said, "The man is dead." And the prophet says, "Thou art the man." Before you begin to cry to God tonight, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Are you sure you are not the enemy? Are you sure it's not the one fighting you? In Numbers chapter 22, from verse 22 to 34, Numbers 22, verse 22 to 34, the Bible said, God had told a prophet, Balaam by name, "Don't go to curse my people." Balak had invited the prophet, "Come and curse Israel for me." God said, "Don't go." But because the man was promised a lot of money, he said, "God, are you sure you don't want me to go?" God said, "Okay, if you want to go, go." So on the way, the Lord met him, sent an angel to block his way. The animal saw the angel and refused to move. But the prophet was blinded by the wealth that he had been promised. He didn't see the angel. You know the rest of the story. When you say, "Demon, you demon standing between me and my destiny, move." What if the demon, the one you call the demon, says, "I'm not a demon, I'm an angel"? Whether you are a demon or you are an angel, just get out. You say, "In whose name?" You say, "In the name of Jesus." You say, "He's the one who asked me to stand here." What if God is the one blocking your way? You see, because God can be for you. In Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? But God can be against you. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 to 11. Haggai 1, 5 to 11. He said, because some people refused to finish his house, he made sure that they looked for much, they found little. And the little they brought in, he blew it away. God said he's the one who did the blowing. Oh, God can be neutral. He's not fighting you. Then he's not supporting you. He's just leaving you alone. And like I told some of my children not too long ago, my father told me that when the lion wakes up in the morning, he prays only one prayer: "God, show me the animal I will eat today and leave the two of us alone. Don't help me, don't help the animal, just leave the two of us alone." And I told them, thank God the devil will never pray. But if the devil were to pray, he would say, "God, show me the fellow I will destroy today and leave the two of us alone. If God leaves you alone for one day, you are finished. But I'm sure you will say, Pastor, or if you want to be generous, Daddy Gio. How can I possibly be an enemy of God? Well, I will tell you because you ask. And I can tell you several ways, but I will mention only seven quickly so you can have time to pray. You can be an enemy of God by lying to Him. You insult the intelligence of the all-knowing God by telling Him a lie. When you read Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, Acts 5, verse 1 to 11, why did Ananias and Sapphira die the same day? Because they lied. Bible said they had the land, they sold the land, brought part of the money to the church. Peter asked Ananias, is this all the money? If Ananias said, no, sir, all I am willing to give is half, there would have been no problem. But he said, yes, sir, this is all. That's why he died. The wife came. Is this how much you sold? And he said, yeah, okay. Go and join your husband in hell. Daddy, I never lied to God. Really? Are you sure? How many times do you come to God and you say you are bringing your tithe? And what you are bringing is not 10%. How could you possibly be insulting the intelligence of the greatest mathematician in the universe by telling him he doesn't know how to divide by 10? When you lie to God, he gets pretty upset. Number two, you could be an enemy of God by failure to pay your vows. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 4, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 4, it says when you make a vow to God, don't delay to pay. It's not even talking about not paying at all now. He said, don't delay to pay. He said, because if you delay, he will regard you as a fool. Now, you think that's a small matter. I made a vow. I'm going to pay, you know, sooner or later. And if God says I'm foolish, well, no problem. until you read Psalm 14 verse 1. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. In other words, when you make a vow and you delay to pay the vow, you are saying to God, he doesn't exist. That's pretty scary. And when you say to God that he doesn't exist, he would like to show you that he does exist. Because that's what Nebuchadnezzar said. And who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? God said, hey, you don't know me? All right. Let's show you that I'm still on my throne. Number three. How can I be an enemy of God? By incomplete obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, from verse 1 to 23, we'll do. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1 to 23. God sent King Saul on an errand. You see, I remember what the Amalekites did to the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt, when they were weak. The Amalekites attacked them. He said, I promised them that I will deal with them later when my people are settled and they have a king. Now they have a king, go and carry out my instructions. Wipe them out. He got there. He killed the men, killed the women, preserved the king. And when they were killing the animals, he told the people, hey, the fat ones, don't kill. God said, wipe them out. He said, let's reserve a little. That's why he lost his crown. If you are not going to obey God, don't obey him at all. If you're going to obey him completely. God hates incomplete obedience. Which brings us to number four, which is very similar to number three. And that is lukewarmness. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16, Revelation 3, 15 to 16, Almighty God said, listen, if you want to be cold, be cold. If you want to be hot, be hot. He said, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's a very powerful word to describe rejection. And if there is any offense that almost all of us are guilty of, that's one. Many a times they have to beg us to praise him. Many a times when we say we are clapping for him, we do it as if he's begging us, forgetting that he's the one who gave us those two hands. Thank you. Thank you. But again and again, again and again and again, even during this convention, I've heard the minister of God coming to the altar and say, "Is that all you can do for God? Is that all you can do for God? Is that all you can do for God?" Thank you. Thank you. At least we are clapping now. We will see how you will clap tomorrow. But it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper than that. Not too long ago, I was discussing with a traditional ruler. And I'm sorry, I'm using this as an example. The traditional ruler is not among those who are seated, so don't look in their direction. And we were discussing the situation in his kingdom. And he was telling me, because I think I was visiting around the time they were celebrating one festival. And I said, "Your Majesty, you mean this is still going on in your kingdom and you say you are the king here?" No, Jesus is my Lord, but they've been worshipping this idol from the inception of the town. You want to mix idol worship with a jealous God? God doesn't say don't worship your idol. Worship your idol. But don't say you are worshiping the idol and you are worshiping God at the same time. He feels insulted. How can you put the Ancient of Days on the same pedestal as an idol that started a few years ago? He feels insulted. If you are going to be a Christian, be a Christian. If you don't want to be a Christian, go. I've always told you've heard me say it before. It's a pity I couldn't reach him the way I wanted before he died. I loved Fela Nicola Kokuchi passionately. Why? He was no pretender. I mean, he showed clearly that he wasn't on the side of Christ. This man married, I think, 27 wives in one day. I like that. Whatever is not doing at all, he's not doing well. And here you are. You say you are serving God. You have one wife in the house. I have seven concubines in hiding. Stop pretending. If you want to serve God, serve God. If you don't want to serve Him, stay away. Stop insulting God. 5. He gets pretty upset when you doubt him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. God gets really upset when you doubt him. That the one who made heaven and earth spoke, and you don't believe him. The one who can bring water out of the rock. The one who can make dry bones live again. Spoke, and you are doubting him. He feels insulted. I'm not God. I'm an ordinary man. But if my son comes to me and say, Daddy, Christmas is coming. Will you please buy me a bicycle for Christmas? And I say, yes, my son, I'll buy you a bicycle. I know my son will go jumping and rejoicing. I'm sure he will go and announce to his friends, I've got a bicycle. Why? Because Daddy said so. But suppose my son gets to the door and turns back. Daddy, are you really going to buy me a bicycle? I say, yes, I will. Thank you, Daddy. And then he goes and gets to the door and comes back. Are you really sure? I said, you are my son. Why would I lie to you? You want a bicycle for Christmas? You got it. He gets to the door. He comes back. Daddy, are you really sure? I say, forget it. He told the children of Israel, I've given you the land. Go and possess it. They said, we can't. He said, no problem. You can't. You won't. Many of you are enemies of God because you are doubting him. If his word says, by his stripes you were healed, he said it. That settles it. If he said in his word, none shall be barren among my people. If he said it, that settles it. Many of us have lost our miracles halfway. When all of a sudden we began to doubt. Number 6. When you are sinning, you make yourself an enemy of God. Psalm 7 verse 11. Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. That's frightening. And yet I hear some preachers preaching. Don't mind old-fashioned people like Pastor Adeboye. Once you are born again, you can live like you like. You will still make it to heaven. The devil is a liar. continue in sin and expect grace to abound. What did the Bible say? It said God is angry with the wicked every day. Can you cope with the anger of God on a daily basis? Maybe I mention just one more, number 7, so you can have time to pray. God gets upset, terribly upset, when he wants you again and again and you ignore his warnings. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says, he who is often reproved hardeneth his neck shall perish suddenly and die without repentance. And there are many of us, we are doing something wrong, and God wants us again and again and again. One day we say, enough is enough. I've told you this story before. When we were seeing the first auditorium, a friend of mine brought his wife from the hospital in a coma. The doctors have said there's no hope. He said, I know if I get to the redemption camp, if I meet my father in the Lord, there will be hope. And thank God for the testimonies you have heard. Before you came, we had asked the Almighty God to saturate the entire land, so that as people come, they will just be picking up their miracles. I'm very grateful to God that he has shown us an example of that little boy. See the way you are clapping now. God will help. Amen. And because this is a family friend, he brought his wife. And looked at the lady. Far gone. I cried to God, please, you know, this family is a friend of my family. Heal this woman. I know you can do it. As I was about to lay hands on her, God spoke to me clearly, I'm not going to. Why, Lord? God said, I have warned her again and again. She refused to repent. She's going to die. I still lay hands. And I felt the anointing of God flow like warm oil down my hands. When it got to her head, it reversed. I ran to the altar then, fell on my face. God, your mercy endureth forever. God, you don't want the death of sinners, but to repent and live. God, I came back, lay hand on her the second time. The same process. I can feel the oil flowing. By the time we reached the head, it was as if it came across rock. It reversed. I ran back to the altar and began to quote the Bible to the one who wrote it. God said to me, I have told you. She's going to die because I have warned her again and again and again, and she refused. He who often reproved lightning at his neck shall perish suddenly. Many of us are here that God had warned you again and again and again, and you ignored his warning. Stop cheating, you kept on cheating. Stop stealing, you kept on stealing. Stop fornicating, you kept on fornicating. Stop lying, you kept on lying. And now you want to say, let God arise. Some of you have cheapened grace. Oh, he's a gracious God. We are living the dispensation of grace. It is in the dispensation of grace that he killed Ananias and Sapphira. Not in the dispensation of law. Let nobody deceive you. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So before we pray, because we're going to pray tonight, first of all, those of you who have never surrendered your life to Jesus, who have never been washed in the blood of the Lamb, or you say you are born again, but you know yourself that you are joking. You were not even sorry for what you did wrong. You didn't repent. You didn't change your mind. You just saw people going forward and you came forward. You thought they said that, well, if you give your life to Jesus, prosperity will come, so you decided to come. No. That, if you are genuinely sorry for what you have done in the past, you want to forsake a life of sin, you want to really give your life to Jesus Christ, not coming laughing and going back laughing. Coming sorrowing to come and ask for his mercy. If you have never had genuine salvation and you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you come first. Let's settle your own case first before we begin some very serious prayers. So if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, you really mean it. You want to repent. You want him to save your soul. You want to begin a brand new life. You want to say bye-bye to a life of sin. Come. I will count from 1 to 15 because I cannot even see the end of the crowd. So, but if you want to come, you have to hurry up, because if you are not here by the time I say 15, we will pray for those who want salvation. And the rest of us will continue. So if you want to come, come now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Keep coming. Don't stop. Just keep coming. Now, thank you, those of you who have been clapping. Let all of us now stretch our hands towards these people and begin to intercede for them. Let's pray that the one who saved our souls will save their own souls also. Intercede for them that they will get genuine salvation tonight. Please pray for them. Intercede for them. Ask God to have mercy on every one of them. Keep coming, keep coming. Don't stop. I'm about to pray now, but make sure you keep coming. Thank you, Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I bless your name. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for these people that have come forward tonight. Please forgive them in Jesus' name. Let your blood wash away their sins in Jesus' name. Save their souls tonight in Jesus' name. Please write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. Don't let them ever go back into sin in Jesus' name. Lord, from now on, anytime they call on you, answer them by fire. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah.
And I welcome you specially to the Open Heavens International Center. Tell you that I had several encounters with God in that house.
Let somebody shout hallelujah.
The anointing in that house is awesome.
Shout hallelujah. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Let somebody shout.
Jesus, the Son of God.